It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
All right, so we've run out of football to talk about. There are no more football games until August when high school football kicks. Well, I guess April when we've got the spring games going on for the college teams. And there'll be some spring games for high school football too. But no official football until August of 2020. Well, I'm stay corrected again. There's that UFL thing that's coming out, I guess, in May, March or May. So I guess technically we will have some football, but not football that we normally watch until August. I keep having to change what I'm saying because football is just king in this country. So the Super Bowl came and went, and it was a dud of a game. The Philadelphia Eagles, congratulations, Super Bowl champions, 40-22 winners over the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that wasn't even that close. You know, I said this last week when we were getting into this show, or getting into the Super Bowl last week's show. I was rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. I am a guy, I love greatness, right? I am a guy that roots for people to do things that we have never seen. And that includes my sports teams. I'm not a Kansas City Chiefs fan. They had an opportunity to win three straight Super Bowls, which we had never seen. As a matter of fact, they were the first team that had ever gotten to a third Super Bowl after winning their first two, right? And so there they are, staring it in the face, and they come out and laid the biggest of eggs. Got blown out in the game, like I said, 40-22, your final score. That game was over midway through the second quarter. There was a glimmer of hope maybe in the third that the Chiefs could come out and make it a game, get something going, and the Eagles completely just squashed that and went on to dominate the game. So in this part of the country, right, so this show that I do and the folks that listen to it, which I am very grateful for you, all around the state of Georgia, especially heavy in South Georgia. And so Darius Slay, former Brunswick High Pirate down in Glynn County, congratulations, because he is now a Super Bowl champion, and that's something that no one can ever take from him. And you know, you got to think about Darius Slay, standout at Brunswick High, goes on to Mississippi State, gets drafted, becomes one of the best corners in the NFL in Detroit. They completely wasted him there. They sent him to Philadelphia, and you know, he's now been to two Super Bowls with the Eagles, and now he has won a Super Bowl. You know, the Eagles now two Super Bowls. They've been to two Super Bowls in 4 years. They now have their Super Bowl championship. Congratulations to Jalen Hurts, man. Don't forget, Jaguar fans, I'm talking to you. Don't forget, you hired Doug Peterson to come be your coach, who you just fired, because there was a difference of opinion in Philadelphia between Doug Peterson and the powers that be above him about Jalen Hurts. Doug Peterson, who has the reputation, or at least had the reputation, of being a quarterback guru, a quarterback whisperer, he was adamant that Jalen Hurts could not be successful in the NFL. And the powers that be were like, hey man, we drafted this kid, we want to give him a shot. And Peterson was just adamant, I'm not going to be the coach here if you're going to force me to play this kid at quarterback. So out the door he went. Jalen Hurts stepped in as the everyday starting quarterback, had some growing pains, sure. Now he's a Super Bowl champion. He's been to two Super Bowls. So maybe the quarterback whisperer got that one wrong, and the quarterback whisperer who went to Jacksonville to straighten out Trevor Lawrence wasn't whispering loud enough to get that ship on the tracks. So he's gone. And so, again, circling all the way back to Jalen Hurts, congratulations. A guy that got benched, remember, the national championship game for Tua because Georgia was eating his lunch in that national championship game at the half. I want to throw some stats out for you pertaining to the Super Bowl because these stats are very telling. Once I read these to you, you're going to figure, oh, well, that's why, you know, the Eagles won and the Chiefs didn't. Patrick Mahomes was 21 of 37. They threw the ball 37 times. 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Great numbers yardage-wise in a Super Bowl. 21 of 32, pretty decent percentage. 3 touchdowns. The 2 picks, they weren't that great. Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs, if the Chiefs had won that game, he would have been your Super Bowl MVP. 8 receptions, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns. A performance that is going to be completely overshadowed because not only were they not competitive in the game, the Chiefs, but not only they lost the game or lose the game, but they weren't competitive either. So a fantastic performance, 8 receptions, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jerry Rice-esque numbers, Super Bowl numbers, because we used to see Rice do this when he was with the Montana Niners and then, you know, even with the Steve Young Niners when they got to the Super Bowl and just demolished the Chargers. So a Super Bowl performance by a wide receiver that will never be talked about because of how terrible the game was. But Xavier Worthy, congratulations to you. It wasn't your fault, brother. 157 yards on 8 receptions. Completely overshadowed. The Chiefs, I mentioned to you, they threw the ball 32 times. They ran the ball 7. 32 times through the air, 7 times on the ground. Now, granted, when they got midway into the third quarter, they were down so much, they had no choice. But to get to that point and only have run the ball 7 times and you're midway through the third quarter, that's an unacceptable game plan. I'm not really sure what they were trying to accomplish, but that formula in the NFL or at almost any level does not work. You have to be able to run the football. And the Eagles' pass rush was so good, just pinning their ears back, coming after Mahomes, snap after snap after snap, that you would think that they would be like, hey, guys, let's run some draws here. You know, let's get these guys to slow down. And they didn't. They went completely away from it. They put it on Patrick Mahomes' shoulders and said, go get them. I think this also adds some questions to some things that the Chiefs need to address in the offseason. I think that they need to get to a point. Look, they've got, Xavier Worthy obviously has stepped up. Rashee Rice will be coming back for them next year. So they've got some good receivers, a couple of really good receivers that Mahomes will have some weapons. Kelce is not going to be the weapon that he has been, 3 or 4 years ago. It happens to the best of us. The thing that they need to address the most, offensive line, they got demolished in that game. And the Eagles didn't blitz. You heard the commentators time and time again tell you that the Eagles are not even blitzing. They're doing this with their front four. They're going to have to address the offensive line and get some, something in the offseason, whether it be draft or in the free agency market or make a trade or whatever. Jalen Hurts, he wins the Super Bowl MVP. His numbers were pretty pedestrian. There just wasn't a standout performance for the Eagles. Everybody did well. 17 for 22, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Saquon Barkley, 25 rushes for 57 yards. He's barely averaging 2 yards a rush, but the difference is the Eagles knew that they at least had to attempt to run the ball to be able to run their offense and keep the Chiefs' defense honest. And so they ran the ball 25 times with Saquon. They ran it 6 times with Gainwell. So they ran the ball 31 times and threw it 22 as compared to the Chiefs, who threw it 32 times and ran it 7. That's the difference in your game. You talk about spreading the wealth around. Devontae Smith, 4 catches. A.J. Brown, 3. Dotson, 2. Barkley, 6 catches. And Goddard had 2. So they were throwing the ball all over the yard. There wasn't one guy that the Chiefs said, say, okay, we're going to stop this guy and try and make somebody else beat him, because everybody else was beating them. Everybody. It was just a total domination by the Eagles. Congrats, Darius Slay.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. As we head into late February, it means that high school baseball is taking full swing and also means the high school basketball season is winding down. Over in Darien, the McIntosh County Academy Bucks are contending for a region championship with only one region loss on the season and a 22-4 overall record. That loss came to the Savannah Blue Jackets last week. The Bucks and the Blue Jackets split the season series one apiece, and that loss is the only region loss suffered by both. Savannah is also 22-4 on the season. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
If you know, you know. All right. So, yeah, we rolled out. We're done with football for the rest of, I guess, the spring. We'll see some football later in the summer, unless you're a UFL fan. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away, whether it's a simple repair or a full replacement. You can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available. Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate, 912-326-5337. Give DBM a like on Facebook or check them out online, dbmroofing.com. So with football season winding down, baseball season kicks into high gear coming into spring training. The Braves still have not addressed the back end of their starting rotation. They may not do that. I got to thinking about this, and I talked some about it last week, and I got to thinking about this. Is it a possibility that the Braves are comfortable having Ian Anderson step in as the four starter to start the year? And here's why I say this. Ian Anderson got back from his injury and pitched in AAA and pitched really, really well last year, especially the second half of the season. Pitched fantastic. It got to a point to where he was pitching so well that he made the comment publicly at a Gwinnett Stryper press conference, I guess. But he made the public comment that he felt like he was ready whenever the Braves wanted to give him a call to come up and make a start or two or whatever. At least look at him out the bullpen, maybe. The Braves did not do that. They, as you know, they were in the midst of trying to make the playoffs, did by the skin of their teeth, and so they didn't really have a game to be able to say, well, you know, we've got a game to throw away to take a look at Ian Anderson. So Ian Anderson did not get that look in 2024 to see what he can do in 2025. But, again, I don't want to get into, well, you know, that's what he did at AAA, and AAA and major leagues are very different. I'll give you that all day long. You're 1,000% right. Just because you're having success at AAA, whether it be offensively or pitching or whatever, that doesn't always translate to Major League Baseball. There have been thousands of can't-miss prospects at the AAA level that have put up staggering numbers that get to Major League Baseball and are out of the league in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years because they can't make the transition. That's not uncommon. Ian Anderson, of course, has pitched at the major league level on, at the highest of levels. That year the Braves won the World Series, he had a phenomenal year. Got some Cy Young votes, as a matter of fact. So I think that there's a possibility that the Braves are saying, instead of going out and spending the money on a starting pitcher, let's give Ian Anderson a look in spring training and see what he can do. And if he is what we think he is, we'll plug him in at the fourth spot in the rotation and we'll go from there. And with the fifth spot, you know, we'll figure it out with either Waldrop or Smith-Shawver or Holmes or whoever it may be to fill out the fifth spot, you know, for the first month, month and a half until you get Spencer Strider back. And then that'll slide Ian Anderson down to the fifth spot in the rotation to where he's not having to take the ball every fifth day. So I guess that's the game plan. And I don't think it's a bad game plan. Ian Anderson, again, pitched well in AAA. He's pitched at the high level of the Major League Baseball. He's shown you that he can pitch at that level if he's healthy. And that's the question. Is he healthy? What's his stuff like? He's had plenty of time to recuperate now. He's had a full offseason since coming back from the injury. And that's got to be a benefit to him, too. So I'm guessing that's what the Braves' plan is. They'll probably pull one on me like they did a couple of weeks ago when I'm talking about them and their outfield situation. And then minutes after we go off the air, they signed Jurickson Profar. So I had to revamp the whole thing the very next week. So who knows? They may sign somebody and just make this theory of mine completely obsolete. But it is a theory that I have. I believe they've made the decision. We're just going to see what Ian Anderson gives us. We're going to move forward with him. He'll be the guy slated to be in the fourth spot. We'll see what he can do in spring training. And, you know, we'll go from there. I was talking about that for the first month, month and a half of the season, that's going to be the plan. And then once Spencer Strider comes back, they'll slide into the fifth spot. Well, the same is true also on the offensive side with your position players, considering Ronald Acuna. They're talking about a month, month and a half minimum before he's back. So your starting day lineup for the Braves, and I'm just guessing, right? I'm not Brian Snicker, but this makes sense to me. I would assume this is what he's going to do. I believe that your opening day lineup is going to consist of Michael Harrison center, Ozzie at second, hitting second, Riley hitting third, playing third, Matt Olson hitting fourth at first, Ozuna at DH and hitting fifth. Profar, I believe, will hit sixth in this lineup and play left. Sean Murphy at seventh and catcher, and then I think they're going to have a platoon situation with Jarred Kelnick and Brian De La Cruz hitting eighth, and whoever is playing that day will play right, and then I believe Arcia is going to be your starting shortstop. I believe that's how your lineup's going to look at the beginning of the season. Now, once Acuna comes back, I think this is what you're looking at. Obviously, you'll have Acuna at the top of the order playing right. I think he'll stick with Ozzie playing second in the second hole. I think Austin Riley will stay third at third base. Olsen still in the four hole. Ozuna still in the five hole. Profar stays sixth. Here's your change. Harris drops from the leadoff spot down to seventh. Murphy hits eighth at catcher. And then Arcia rounds things out at short, batting ninth. So if you think about it, this is still a pretty potent lineup. Acuna, Albies, Riley, Olsen, Ozuna, Profar, Harris, Murphy, and Arcia. Now, you get to the bottom of the order. There are some questions around Murphy and Arcia, who both kind of had down years. Not kind of had down years. They both had down years. Can those guys rebound closer to what their 2023 numbers were than what their 2024 numbers were? You got to believe maybe somewhere in the middle, best case, or that's the case that you would take. You'd be happy with somewhere in the middle. Best case is they do repeat those 2023 numbers. So you do have some question marks in the 8-9 hole. But 1 through 7, Acuna, Albies, Riley, Olsen, Ozuna, Profar, and Harris. I mean, that's a pretty deep lineup. And I'm just guessing, you know, Brian Snicker may do something completely different. He may have Harris hit second. He may have Profar until Acuna comes back hit leadoff. You know, that's an option. Profar may hit second when Acuna comes back. I don't know. This is just what I would do based upon the bats in the lineup. Another situation, too, is, you know, if you notice, when Acuna comes back, I don't have Kelnick or De La Cruz in the everyday lineup because now there's no room for them. Again, I said this last week, and I don't think it's far-fetched. Some people have responded and said, really, you really think this? And I really do. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that if, especially, Jared Kelnick hits the first month of the season before Acuna comes back and Arcia doesn't, Profar came up a shortstop. They may not want to take Kelnick's bat out of the lineup if Arcia is not hitting. So when Acuna comes back, they may shift Profar to short if Kelnick is finally doing what they hoped, the Mariners and the Braves hoped that he would do when the Mariners drafted him in the first round in, gosh, what was it, 2018, I guess, that he was drafted. The Braves are holding out hope that Jared Kelnick is not a bust, that Jared Kelnick will put up first-round type numbers, 280, 30 home runs, 85, 90, 100 RBIs. That's what the Braves are hoping to get out of him. If you don't get that, that's fine. You just shift Profar over to left, you play him every day, and you live with whatever RC is going to do. If Kelnick hits, it certainly creates a dynamic where the Braves could consider placing Profar back at short, which, of course, is where he started his major league career. He came up a shortstop with the Padres, so, or with the Rangers, excuse me.
No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Train dealer and Train comfort specialists, high quality work, trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street. Across from Dollar General, tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Here it comes, the big one, Valentine's Day. Guys, you can't mess this one up. Get on down to Cunningham Jewelers for a vast inventory of gifts, whether it be that perfect set of earrings this Valentine's Day or that diamond ring. Cunningham Jewelers' friendly staff will help you find that perfect gift no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama. Accepts most insurances. Hassle-free transfers and online transfers. Free delivery to St. Simons and Mainland Brunswick. Average in-store wait times under 5 minutes. Experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com. 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy.
got some spirit in these rejoins today. You gotta love it. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery, 912-466-7340, or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. So this is something that we don't really it's not that we don't talk about the NBA. It's just that the Hawks don't often give us anything to talk about pertaining to the NBA, and we try to keep things regionally located, regional of interest. So this trade is a little bit out of our scope, but it's such a huge trade. It's something that you're not accustomed to seeing in any sports league, where, of course, I'm talking about the Lakers acquiring Luka Doncic and sending Anthony Davis to the Mavericks in return. I want to just touch on this. I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to go grass level deep with this stuff. I'm going to keep it at the surface. But this trade signifies a couple of different things. First, for the Lakers, it signifies that they are at the point with LeBron where they expect LeBron to be calling it a career sooner than later. And when he leaves, they need somebody to be able to carry the franchise, be the face of the organization, more importantly, sell tickets and merchandise. Not that Anthony Davis could not have been that guy, but at the end of the day, Anthony Davis was 31 years old, and he played a position where there's a lot of banging, a lot of physicality underneath. And how many more miles did he have on the odometer? It certainly wasn't another decade. That is for sure. With acquiring Luka, that is what the Lakers bought. They have bought themselves a face of their organization for the next decade, having Luka in a Laker jersey. Now, the question is, the question that I have with Luka is, when you go to LA, they expect to win championships over there. Sure, they are the Lakers. Yes, they are one of the faces of the NBA, but they want to win. And if we're being honest about Luka, I don't think that Luka, to this point in his career, has shown a real strong commitment to trying to win championships in the NBA. Luka has shown a commitment to Luka, and I think that's kind of what happened to him in Dallas. When you get a new regime in there, things kind of break down. They're trying to win championships, and Luka is into being Luka. That's going to have to change. I don't think there was a better place that the Mavericks could have sent him to get him to make that transition, simply for the fact that you have LeBron James as the face of that organization and on your roster as your leader. LeBron James is not going to tolerate Luka being Luka. He's going to demand Luka do what's best for the team. He's going to demand Luka do what's best for himself, as far as whether it be fitness, whether it be diet, whether it be game plan, whether it be working on things that he's not very good at. LeBron is going to demand these things of him. And there are not very many players in the NBA that can tell Luka Doncic anything. LeBron is one of those players. So I think it's a really good situation for the Lakers to be able to pair Luka with LeBron for now. You know, you've just bought your face of the organization for the next decade. You're hoping that LeBron can kind of teach him some things about winning and turn him into that guy. I don't want to compare him to Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant was a killer on his own. He didn't need LeBron to turn him into that, but they're hoping that LeBron will have that type of impact on Luka. On the other side of this, I feel like, so the Mavericks feel like they have ridded themselves of the headache of Luka Doncic. Maybe they should have just kept Trae Young. I don't know. But nonetheless, I guess that's how they feel. They've landed themselves a future Hall of Famer in Anthony Davis in return. Now, again, Anthony Davis, 31 years of age, and he's a guy that plays underneath. I think this really paints the Mavericks into a corner here. By adding Anthony Davis, when you know that you have a limited window with Davis. 3, maybe 4 years of Davis really being a high caliber player in the NBA. You can't make this trade and trade away a Luka Doncic for an Anthony Davis and then come away not winning a title with Anthony Davis on your roster as your superstar. For this to work out for the Mavericks, they got to win a title with Anthony Davis as their guy. If they don't do that, they lose the trade all out. No argument about it, because the Lakers are going to get, like I said, at least a decade of Luka. And if the Mavericks don't win a championship in the next 3 or 4 years, Anthony Davis is now beginning to hit that point in his career where he's not as productive, and that window is shut for the Mavericks with Anthony Davis, and he becomes untradeable. So for this to work out for them, this is a gamble. I mean, this is a huge gamble for the Mavericks. They have to win a title with Anthony Davis for it not to be looked upon as a bust for them, as a bad deal for them. It doesn't matter how many all-star teams Anthony Davis makes, how many MVPs he makes, how many times he gets them to the playoffs. The goal here by adding him is to win a championship. And if they don't, they lose the trade. It's that simple. And they only got to win one. If they win two or more, it's icing on the cake. So the question I pose to my NBA listeners, with Anthony Davis, with that team currently constructed the way it is, are the Mavericks an NBA championship contender? It's a whole different dynamic. You're going to run a whole different offense because, you know, Luka's a different type of player than Anthony Davis was or is. Is the roster good enough for the Mavericks to win an NBA championship? And if not this year, if the answer is no, not this year, are they close enough with Anthony Davis on the roster to be able to add a piece or two moving into next year and beyond that to get them there? Again, huge gamble here by the Dallas Mavericks. I think it's going to be really tough. And they're in the Western Conference. You know, that's another thing. The Lakers don't have to win a championship in the next 3 or 4 years with Luka there to say they won the trade. They don't have to do that. All they have to do is have Luka put butts in the seats and sell jerseys. Championship is icing.
Not only does Gentleman and Lady Outfitters carry the top brands that have made them a staple here in the Golden Isles, they also specialize in prom season. It's always important to look your best. Head on over to the Tuxedo Rental Experts at Gentleman and Lady Outfitters. For over 25 years, Gentleman and Lady Outfitters have been the leader in tuxedo rentals. 600 Sea Island Road in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center on St. Simons. Call 912-634-1521.
At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call 912-265-8674 and find us on Facebook.
Your hometown and independent pharmacy in Darien is Jets Pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center. Jets Pharmacy accepts all insurances, drive-through service, and delivers to Darien and surrounding areas, including Brunswick, immunizations, competitive cash prices, and even med synchronization. So get on over to your friendly neighbors at Jets Pharmacy or give them a call at 912-437-3784. Jets Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy. Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
whoever was in charge of picking the rejoins today, you deserve a raise. Fantastic. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System and by DBM Roofing. I want to segue from what we were talking about in the NBA with Luka and Anthony Davis to the college football playoff. More importantly, the Georgia Bulldogs. Looking at their, I want to preview their 2025 schedule. By the way, their G-Day game is going to be on Saturday, April the 12th. I'm sure it will be televised somewhere in the state. They're going to open the season on August the 30th, so they're going to get a little bit of an early start. Typically, those games, the college games, don't start until, you know, early September. They're going to start late August. They'll be at home against Marshall, so that's a game. That's a cupcake game. That's a game. It's almost like what you would equivalate to – equivalate, is that a word? It is now. What you would equivalate to a spring game for a college team, well, it's a little bit more than a spring game because it counts. Maybe you would like an NFL preseason game. There you go. That's a good comparison. Almost like an NFL preseason game. The Marshall Thundering Herd will come to Sanford Stadium on August the 30th, and Georgia will kick off their 2025 campaign, looking to get into the college football playoff on the September the 6th, the following week. They'll be at home again against Austin Peay, another tune-up game. So they're going to have two tune-up games before they get serious, because things are going to get serious on September the 13th when they roll to Knoxville to play Tennessee. And of course, Tennessee is going to be looking to avenge that tough loss they had last year to the Dogs. Tennessee, of course, had a great year, made the college football playoff, got obliterated by Ohio State. Tennessee will be looking for some revenge for sure. That band, everybody will tell you, when you go play Tennessee in Knoxville, you're going to hear Rocky Top 3 million times. So that crowd will be loud. They will be obnoxious. It's going to be a tough road opener for the Dogs, which I think is a good thing that they're going to have the two tune-up games with Marshall and Austin Peay to kind of get ready, figure some things out early in the year against some teams that, you know, are from the FCS. So good job by Kirby Smart of scheduling Marshall and Austin Peay before you go on the road to Tennessee. And then on September the 20th, Georgia will take the week off for one of their bye weeks, and it doesn't get any easier after that because – they will go back to Sanford Stadium, but they will be welcoming Alabama. Kalen DeBoer's got a lot to prove there. He's got a lot of heat on the back of his neck from the Crimson Tide fan base. Three losses on the regular season, which is almost unheard of for Alabama now with what Nick Saban did at that program. And there's a lot of pressure on him to get into the college football playoff, maybe win an SEC championship and make a deep run in that college football playoff, certainly not lose three games. So it's a tough road game for Alabama to go to Georgia. It's also a tough home game because you're playing Alabama for the Dogs. So that, you know, those first two SEC games, Tennessee and Alabama, you know, way to start out right out the gate. That's tough. On October the 4th, Georgia will again be at home. They will this time host the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky gave Georgia fits last year, and Georgia survived a game up in Lexington last year. So, you know, we'll see what Georgia's got in store. Kentucky's got to come in. They've got a new quarterback situation. Do the Wildcats. Georgia has their own quarterback situation that they're going to tend to. But by the Kentucky game, I figure we'll pretty much know what Georgia's going to do at quarterback. October 11th, never an easy game. Anytime you got to go to Jordan-Hare on the Plains to play Auburn, it's never a gimme. They're trying to rebuild. They had a great recruiting class, did the Auburn Tigers. So, you know, you just – and that Georgia-Auburn game, it's just one of those games where you just never know. You throw all the records out and who's ranked higher and all that stuff. That's one of those games you just punt all that stuff away and you just – you buckle in and you white-knuckle it and see what happens. On October the 18th, I think it's going to be – if I attend a Georgia, which I will, attend a Georgia game, this is probably the game I'm going to want to attend. at Sanford Stadium, Ole Miss comes calling. And remember what they did to Georgia over in Oxford last year, totally obliterated and dominated Georgia. There's going to be some retribution wanted the way that Georgia played to get back at Ole Miss, especially at home in front of their own fans. If there is a game where Georgia's going to find some motivation, not saying you're not going to find motivation in Tennessee and Alabama, but that is the game I feel like that Georgia will be most motivated to play because of how Ole Miss embarrassed them last year. Coming off of that game, Georgia will take their next bye October the 25th. They will not play because on Saturday, November 1st, it is the last installment, at least for a couple of years, of the Georgia-Florida game down in Jacksonville at Everbank Stadium. They're going to do some renovations at Everbank. They're going to close the stadium down for a couple of years. The Jaguars won't even be there. So we'll see how that goes. And that contract has not, to my knowledge, been renewed beyond this past or this upcoming game with the Georgia-Florida series at Everbank. So we'll see what happens. My best guess is they'll probably do a home-and-home like they did back in the 90s and kind of see how that goes. And I think Kirby Smart has gone on record to say that he would prefer to play the Georgia-Florida game as a regular game, you know, alternate years at home and home. The folks that live in southeast Georgia, the Glynn counties of the world, the Camden counties of the world, Charlton County, and even up into northeast Florida with Nassau, those folks, they do not want that game to be home and home. It's a huge revenue driver for the communities of Kingsland, the communities of St. Mary's, the community of St. Simon's Island, Richmond Hill. Huge revenue driver to have that game in Jacksonville, Fernandina Beach, Yulee. All of those places really depend on this game as a big booster, especially in the tourism places, like I mentioned, St. Simon's and Fernandina Beach, because the way it works is, yeah, those restaurants that are there, they boom during the summer when it's tourism season, but in October and November, it's not tourism season, and you're depending on just your locals to kind of get you through. And so the insertion of the Georgia-Florida game and that additional revenue that comes in, you know, during the fall really helps out those local restaurants, Fernandina Beach, St. Simon's Island, Amelia Island as well. So once you get past the Georgia-Florida game on November the 1st, Georgia will head to after the November 1st game with the Florida Gators, the Bulldogs will head to Mississippi State in Stark Vegas, Mississippi, Starkville, actually, to play the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I feel like that's a game that Georgia should win handily. Just Jimmy's and Joe's, talent, roster, right? That's a game I like Georgia to handle. And then another tough game for Georgia. They do get it again at home. They will host the Texas Longhorns, who they handled twice last year. Beat them in the regular season, beat them in the SEC championship game, did not get a chance to play them in the college football playoff. Texas, of course, coming off of a really good year, their first year in the SEC where they held their own. You know, they made it all the way to the SEC championship game and, you know, made a little run in the college football playoff. Georgia will then take a little bit of a cupcake in the Charlotte 49ers. Back at Sanford Stadium on November the 22nd, getting ready to play Georgia Tech. And on November the 28th, they will play that game at Mercedes-Benz. That game is technically a home game for the Yellow Jackets. They'll play it at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And by the way, that's not a gimme game. Georgia Tech keeps getting better and better and closer and closer. I feel like Georgia Tech is going to start contending for ACC championships, if not this year, certainly by next. Brent Key is doing a really good job with the Yellow Jackets. So just to run this thing down for you, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Marshall and Austin Peay, okay, great. Then Georgia's on the road at Tennessee. They're at home against Kentucky. They're on the road at Auburn, at home against Ole Miss, neutral game against Florida, on the road at Mississippi State, at home against Texas, at home against Charlotte, and then on the road at Georgia Tech. It is a brutal schedule. It is not easy. You've got Texas on the schedule, Tennessee on the schedule, Auburn on the schedule, Alabama on the schedule, Florida on the schedule, Ole Miss on the schedule. It's murderer's row, And that's what the SEC is. If you come to play in the SEC, and Texas and Oklahoma will tell you, it doesn't matter what you do in the Big 12 because it ain't the same league.
Whether you're heading to the big game or having friends over, you're going to need to get your party right. And M&B Liquors has everything you need with a large selection. And if you can't find it, the friendly M&B staff will get it for you. Be sure to ask about our keg selection, too. Locally family-owned and operated since 1985. Off exit 29 on I-95, 61 Candler Drive. Call 912-265-2567 and look for specials on Facebook. M&B Liquors.
Trying to find great family fun, but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
Here it comes, the big one, Valentine's Day. Guys, you can't mess this one up. Get on down to Cunningham Jewelers for a vast inventory of gifts, whether it be that perfect set of earrings this Valentine's Day or that diamond ring. Cunningham Jewelers' friendly staff will help you find that perfect gift no matter your budget. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com. No matter the temperature outside, the AC guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Trane dealer and Trane comfort specialist. High quality work, Trane professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys. With the Super Bowl over, I was kind of thinking about who would be the Super Bowl favorite next year as of right now, right before any of the NFL teams got to work on improving their rosters. And with the things that are, I guess, structured the way they are, I got to say that the favorite is either got to be Philadelphia or Detroit. I think that the big difference maker with the Eagles that you haven't seen out of them was Saquon Barkley. I know that he didn't have the monster Super Bowl game that you would have wanted from him, but the fact of the matter remains that the reason that the Eagles were able to move the ball through the air was because the Chiefs were petrified of Saquon's ability to run the football. And the Eagles stayed with it. They gave him the ball 25 times. He only rushed for 57 yards, but it was the threat of Saquon Barkley, and he had like six catches out of the backfield. He is a dynamic player, which makes that Eagle offense far more dangerous than anything that I think exists in the NFC, maybe the NFL. Maybe the Lions are close, but I think that Saquon Barkley, for certain this year, was a huge difference maker, especially in the playoffs with the Eagles. And I think going forward, when you look at the Eagles roster, you got to figure, you know, hey, if you're picking a favorite right now before anything happens in the offseason, the Eagles might be a favorite to win a back-to-back Super Bowl. And I'm going on record and saying this. I did this with the Chiefs. I'll do it again with the Eagles. If the Eagles do repeat and they win two consecutive Super Bowls, for the 2026-2027 season, I'm going to be completely on board with the Eagles winning three in a row. I want to see someone win three Super Bowls in a row. It's just like, it's almost impossible. The Chiefs were not even ready to play that game. I mean, they got thraxed, woodshedded right out of the gate by the Eagles. It makes you wonder if maybe their heads were somewhere else, or if they just expected to show up and win because they were the Chiefs, and if that's the kind of mindset that happens after you win a couple Super Bowls in a row, your culture kind of changes. Maybe you're not as hungry. Maybe you're not as dedicated. Maybe you're just thinking about getting paid. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I've never been inside of an NFL locker room. I don't know. Well, I've never been inside of an NFL locker room as a player. I've been inside some NFL locker rooms. I've been inside the Jags locker room. I've been inside the Falcons locker room. I've been inside the Bucks locker room. And, you know, it's, from my opinion, they're all pretty similar, at least from what the media can see. You know, I don't know the day-to-day stuff, right? So, I don't know. If the Eagles do win two in a row back-to-back, I'm totally rooting for them to win the third. So, yeah, right now I hope they win back-to-back, give themselves a chance to win three in a row. But then there's that dynamic that I told you earlier in the show that no team had ever even had won the previous two Super Bowls, and then for that third year, a chance at a three-peat, had gotten back to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs were the first team to do that. The Chiefs were the first team to get back to the Super Bowl a third straight year after winning the first two. Now, yes, there have been teams that have gotten to consecutive Super Bowls, three Super Bowls, four Super Bowls for the Buffalo Bills, but they didn't have back-to-back championships to get back to the third one. Elway's Broncos didn't do it. Montana's Niners, Aikman's Cowboys, Bradshaw's Steelers, Bart Starr's Green Bay Packers. They won three championships in a row, but only two Super Bowls in a row. Remember, Bart Starr won that whatever they were, before the AFL and the NFL merged, there was a championship that Bart Starr won, which wasn't considered a Super Bowl. And so the Packers do have three straight championships, but nobody has won three straight Super Bowls. And until Patrick Mahomes came along, nobody had even gotten to a third Super Bowl after winning the first two. So, gosh, I mean, when you really start thinking about Tom Brady's on that list, hasn't been there, hasn't gotten to three straight Super Bowls after winning the first two, didn't win three straight Super Bowls. So, you know, the who's of quarterbacks in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is the only guy to do it as far as getting to that third Super Bowl, and they just obliterated them. And Mahomes didn't play terrible, but he certainly didn't play great. My money's on the Eagles. My money's on the Eagles to repeat. I do think the Lions are a team they're going to have to contend with. So those are my two favorites right out of the gate. My two favorites to win the Super Bowl next year are the Eagles and the Lions, with no free agent signings, no NFL draft, none of that stuff, just the way things stand right now. Also want to touch about, we were talking NBA trades a minute ago. We were talking about Luka and the Lakers and all of that stuff. I want to just touch on, in the little bit of time that I have left, I want to touch on the Atlanta Hawks. Somebody asked, well, the Hawks made trades. Yeah, they did, but they really didn't. This is kind of what the Hawks do. They made a couple of trades. I don't know that it really helps them long term. Every year they seem to do this, and they're wasting Trae Young. They are wasting Trae Young, and they have now put themselves in position with Trae Young where he's got a little bit of mileage on him. I'm not going to say he's not in his prime, because he still is, but he's toward the tail end of his prime. He's closer to the tail end of his prime than he is the beginning of his prime. And the value on him, you can't get the value back if you were to trade him. And even if you were, no NBA team is going to be willing to trade for him at this point in his career to be the face of their organization. So what I'm telling you is the Atlanta Hawks, I don't want to use the term stuck with Trae Young, because he's not a guy that you get stuck with because he's so talented, but they've got to do a better job, and they have to do it soon, of getting talent around him. They've got to get him another superstar, a superstar, not a guy that's going to compliment him or not a guy that's going to help him. I mean another superstar to help him. And, you know, the history of this franchise is that they just don't do these things. They find a star if they have one at all, and they put the jersey on him and they sell the jersey, and that's it. They've never been concerned about winning, or if they have, they haven't been able to convince players to come to Atlanta for whatever reason. I hope that changes with the Hawks, because there is a huge population of the state of Georgia that wants the Hawks to be good and they want the Hawks to win. And I just don't know, you know, if that's going to happen in the Trae Young era, and I'm afraid that the Hawks may end up wasting him.
This has been the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. As we head into late February, it means that high school baseball is taking full swing and also means the high school basketball season is winding down. Over in Darien, the McIntosh County Academy Bucks are contending for a region championship with only one region loss on the season and a 22-4 overall record. That loss came to the Savannah Blue Jackets last week. The Bucks and the Blue Jackets split the season series one apiece, and that loss is the only region loss suffered by both. Savannah is also 22-4 on the season. The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.